This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Every week we run a segment called Lifting the Lid, where we seek insights into people and industries we think we know, but really don't know much about them at all. Today, joining us is Dr. Scott Parry, a veterinarian in Coonamble, just north of Dubbo, and I'm guessing the host of Parry's Practice.
Have you heard that before? Dr. Scott?
No, I haven't actually, mate. That's a good one. I might use that in the future.
Yeah, TV show called Parry's Practice about a vet. Yeah, that's great. Thanks for joining us on Hope Brekkie, mate.
No, that's fine, mate. I've probably got a better head for radio than I have for TV.
Perfect. Now, did you always know that you actually wanted to be a vet?
No, not really, mate. Like, I was, I guess I just wanted to always do something working in the bush, and I went all right at school and looked at the options, and I chose to do vet, and the rest, as they say, is history. But no, I wasn't one of those people who always wanted to be a vet. I sort of just fell into it, I guess, mate. Yeah. Oh, I did watch a bit of James Herriot. I'm a bit too old. I'm of the generation that missed out on McLeod's Daughters and Harry's Practice and that sort of thing. But definitely watched a bit of James Herriot, I guess, in my time.
Now, I always think vets are very brave humans because they have to deal with all kinds of animals, a lot of them who aren't very happy. And I can imagine that some might cause you some grief. Is it a risky job?
Yeah, it is, mate. There's no doubt about it. You can't sort of let your guard down. Look, plenty of vets get bumps and scrapes and broken bones and what have you. I mean, I guess in my line of work, I reckon the most dangerous animals that I work with are bulls. They're just, you know, we do a fair bit of work with bulls at close quarters, and they're just big, seriously powerful animals. You know, they're unpredictable, sometimes they're aggressive and really it's so easy for them to maim or kill someone. And you know, I've actually seen some fairly bad injuries with people working with bulls. Just everything you do with them is difficult, mate. You can get bitten by a cat and end up in hospital for weeks at a time too. So there's plenty of things with sharp edges on them when you're working with them as a vet, that's for sure.
Mate, weirdest animal you've ever had to treat?
I've spent a little bit of time in the UK, so you get a fair few of your pocket pets over there. So, I don't know, it was a bit of a rule for me. If I looked outside and saw someone sitting in the waiting room with a toaster box that had an animal in it, I probably wasn't going to know what it was, so I tried to avoid that one. But, you know, you see things like over there, you might see chinchillas and hamsters and gerbils and chipmunks, some of that weird sort of stuff. But in Australia, I don't know. Done a little bit of camel work, I suppose. That's probably the
crocodile.
That's for me. No, never had to work on crocodiles, for better or worse.
I imagine that when you think about human doctors for humans, there's all kinds of specialists. But when I think of a vet, I think you obviously, I mean, you've got to be across so many animals, and every animal's a different animal. Is that how a vet works? Do you have any specialist vets who look after dogs or cats, or you just got to be across everything?
Oh, look, to be honest, mate, it's become much more like human medicine in that structure. Now, like, we do have formal pathways to specialisation, and you've actually, you know, you can't claim to be a specialist vet unless you have specialist qualifications. So, yeah, in that regard, we have very similar specialties to human medicine. You know, you've got surgical specialists, medicine specialists, you know, ophthalmology, cancer, all that sort of thing. Mm. I mean, obviously, the difference is very few, like most of those people would not specialise in just one species. They'd probably be doing, you know, surgery across a range of species. But then there's a lot of vets who are general practitioners, and they do a bit of, you know, they might do a bit of everything. And then you get into mixed practice, where I've probably spent all of my time, and that's where you're doing large and small animals. And yeah, you're very much the jack of all trades, master of none. But you probably do find most vets over time, even if they don't undertake a formal course of specialty training, they tend to narrow their focus a bit and work in one particular field without becoming a specialist. But yeah, to answer your original question, we do have a reasonably similar structure to human medicine in that regard.
Mate, how do you How do you process the sadder parts of your job?
Yeah, look, it's a pretty good question. Like, I think, I mean, everyone's going to do it differently, but I try and focus on the task at hand, and I really try and accept that I can only control the controllables. Mm. I can only do what I can do to the best of my ability. You know, if you let yourself get too upset or overwhelmed by the sad situations you're in, and you see it, yeah, it's a day-to-day occurrence. Yeah, it's not many days go by where you don't see something that's dying or it's died, or, you know, and, you know, you have to euthanise. You know, it is almost a daily occurrence. But if you let it get to you, the job will become overwhelming. And, look, I mean, I've literally just come back in the last couple of weeks. I was involved in the bushfire response. Like, I was on the fire grounds in northeast Victoria sort of 2 or 3 days after the big fires went through that sort of Corryong, Walwa, Kajiwal, Tintalda country just south of the Murray River there, up in the northeast. And, yeah, look, we saw some human and animal misery on a, like, on an industrial scale there. And I was working with a team of, like, fantastic team of people. You know, we'd go out all day doing our job, but, you know, at night you'd come home. You know, you have a bogey up, have a shower, and go down, have a couple of cold ones, and discuss what had happened. You know, debrief amongst one another. I mean, dark humour is a fairly big part of the coping mechanism, I think, for a lot of us. And I don't know. We just got through it, but yeah, I just think you've got to keep it in perspective. And yeah, if it overwhelms you, you'll pretty quickly find you can't cope with the job.
Dr. Scott, if you could scream anything at pet owners listening right now, something that every pet owner should know, do you have some advice?
If I was going to scream something at a pet owner, I'd say next time you want to blow up at your vet when something hasn't gone to plan with your pet or your animal, or if you want to complain about the bill that you've got, just take 10 seconds and walk a mile in that vet's shoes, because every vet, I can guarantee you, every vet is trying their hardest to get the best outcome for you and your animal. They didn't plan to have things go wrong. Sometimes no matter what you do, no matter what the vet does, you know, bad stuff just happens, and it's not anyone's fault. Like, you know, and the other thing I want to remind people, we don't have Medicare for pets. So when you walk into that vet clinic, everything you see around you has been paid for by the owner of that practice, and all of the wages are paid for by the owner of the practice. Now, there's no government support at all for vet practice, and you know, even private pet insurance, while it's available, certainly the uptake in Australia hasn't been exceptionally high. So, you know, we're always working in imperfect conditions. You know, there's generally financial constraints, or, you know, often with large animals, you know, there's handling constraints. Like, that animal either wants to kill you or eat you, or, you know, and you might be dealing with less than perfect, you know, handling facilities. You know, they can't talk. They can't tell us what's going on. You know, like, we're starting 10 steps behind every job we do. And, you know, just, I think the final thing I'd add to that is, you know, remember that the vet you're dealing with has got feelings too, and the mental pressure on vets, the mental pressure they put on themselves, the mental pressure that is put on them by clients is really high. And sadly, you know, this is quite a serious thing, is that sadly we are one of the professions with less than perfect mental health outcomes, and unfortunately some people make some, you know, fairly serious and lasting decisions about that. And I just want you to remember, just want clients to remember that vets, they're busting their balls every day to get the best outcome. So just remember that. And
Mate, and I would assume too, is every vet loves animals. It's one of the reasons they're in the profession, right? Like, you do it because you've got a deep love and affection for animals, and you want the best outcome for them.
Yeah, you can't do it if you don't. I think love is the wrong word.
When it comes to cats, appreciate cats. But, I mean, for other animals, you'd love them.
Yeah, you just, I just have a real respect for, I suppose, it's more of a respect for the animal and their, you know, what they bring to us. And, you know, they feed us, they give us fibre, they give us companionship. So, and you just want the best outcome for them, mate,
Absolutely. Before we let you go, Dr. Scott, if someone's listening to this and they are thinking of becoming a vet, What advice would you have for them?
Well, best advice I could give them is go and get the boxed set of McLeod's Daughters. Watch as much of Harry's practice as you can. And who's that joker who's running around in the jungle, or he's on Bondi? Chris Brown.
Chris Brown. Yeah,
watch as much of that as you can. And when you've finished, repeat to yourself 1,000 times, if I become a vet, my life will be nothing like it is on TV. It's not all puppies and kittens and delivering live calves in lovely green meadows. It's often dirty, dangerous, it's tiring, it's stressful, it's physically demanding, it's mentally taxing. Don't do it for the dollars. Like, you'll earn a good living, but you're nowhere up in the executive bracket in terms of income. But it is very satisfying. But yeah, just go into it with realistic expectations. That'd be my best advice.
Fantastic.
Well, Dr. Scott Parry, it's been a delight to talk to you and get some insights on your profession.
Not a problem, mate. Anytime.
All the animals in Parry's practice.
I'll never leave that there.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.